Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us today for our Ohio State Winter Organic Webinar Series. My name is Steve Coleman. I'm an associate professor based in Worcester with areas focused on soil fertility and soil health. This is, of course, a virtual webinar, and topic will be Glenn Arnold and talking about manure analysis. Looks like everyone that's on at this point in time has is connected through Zoom, so no one's on the phone, but we'll ask that you go ahead and, you know, mute yourself during the duration of this. But boy, we've got such a small group right now that I don't think Glenn would mind at all if people would jump in and ask questions. So feel free to do this and make this as interactive as you'd like. We essentially have about 30 minutes scheduled to kind of talk about this. And so I will, it's my honor to introduce Glenn Arnold. He's a tremendous asset to Ohio State and to growers around the state. Glenn's been, he's a field specialist with OSU Extension. He was at a county educator before then. He's been with Ohio State for a long time and has developed a lot of relationships. Not that long, Glenn, of course, just a rich career, and is doing some really fantastic work. I don't know if he's gonna talk about any of that today, but really some interesting work looking at utilizing manure, particularly nitrogen in manure. So anyways, I'll stop babbling. Thanks. Thanks again for joining. And again, I'll just remind you to unmute yourself. And if you do want to stop Glenn, feel free to you know, unmute yourself and ask a question. If you don't want to break his train of thought, you can also use the chat, of course, and I'll be monitoring that. So with that, I'll stop. And Glenn, please take over.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Yeah, pleased to be here today. We want to talk today about what's actually in manure. So I'll get started with my slide set. Feel welcome to interrupt with questions. More than happy to answer them as best I can. I wanted to talk briefly about the trends in manure. Generally, we break manure into two types, liquid or solid. Solid we refer to as bedded pack manure pretty often, but also solid manure can be poultry litter. If you went back 50 years in time, before Steve was born, poultry litter was mostly liquid, while your swine, your dairy manure, and your beef manure was mostly bedded pack. If you look today, most poultry manure is solid or dry, and dairy and swine manure is mostly in the liquid form, and even the beef is headed in that direction. And when manure is in liquid form, there's some pros and cons, but one of the big cons is you transport a lot of water. If manure is more solid, you're not transporting water, you're transporting nutrients. Thought we would start out a little bit with poultry litter. This is just a typical large poultry farm we have in Ohio. We store the litter in buildings such as this. They're elevated so that the front end loader can haul manure out when the time comes, when fields are ready. We throw it on semi-trucks, transport that out into the counties, and then it's stockpiled usually. And this is an example where soybeans are still in some sort of early August time period, maybe late July, they're piling up the poultry litter with the idea of application once the growing season is ended. This is a kind of a typical analysis. Now, you always want to get manure analyzed so you actually know what's in it to start with, because then when you know what's there, then you can plan your cropping program appropriately. Solid manure, like poultry litter and bedded pack manures, are always reported in pounds per ton when you get a manure analysis done. And you look down through here and it says that it's 50% roughly moisture and about a little less than 50% solid. So in that ton, you're hauling 1,016 pounds of water and 984 pounds of actual material itself. But I want to look specifically a little bit lower at the three nitrogen numbers. whenever you get manure analyzed, you're usually going to get either three or four nitrogen numbers, and they're always in a row. And the top one of the three in this sample is over here on the left, says nitrogen total. You bring that across, and it's 58.7 pounds in 1,000 gallons. Excuse me, in a ton, 58.7 pounds of total nitrogen in that ton. And then below that, there'll either be two or three lines that'll tell you what that nitrogen consists of. And usually the ammonium content will be the first thing that's listed. And here, of the original 58.7, we have 32.3 pounds is in the ammonium form. And then the next form is organic nitrogen on this example. Now, in a liquid sample, I'll show you after a bit, they also have a nitrate nitrogen level, but those are usually pretty low, so they're not really oftentimes counted or considered because the content's pretty low. But anyhow, if you add up your nitrogen sources here, your ammonium nitrogen and your organic, then you'll get your total nitrogen. Now, this test from Great Lakes also gives you what they call first year availability in pounds per ton. And you can calculate that, but just know that of that 58.7, Great Lakes is saying that 48.1 is available in the first year for a crop, such as corn crop. That much wouldn't be available for a wheat crop, because your wheat crop would stop uptaking nutrients in June, and you wouldn't have July and August to allow that organic material to mineralize and release more nitrogen. But just understand that there's a first year availability. See how this ammonia number of 32.3 is considered completely available? That's because it is. Ammonia nitrogen is readily taken by a plant. Organic nitrogen, on the flip side, is not completely available the first year. Poultry litter is the exception to the rule. There's more of this organic nitrogen in poultry litter available the first year than what you would expect to be in dairy manure or beef manure or any other bedded packed manure. And that's because basically the chicken uses the same spot for both urine and manure and eggs to come out of. So you always have a higher percentage of organic nitrogen available the first year. Here it shows better than about 2/3 of it being available. If it were beef manure, I would expect somewhere around a 1/3 to maybe a half on a generous year. Then the other numbers you want to look at when you look at an analysis is your P2O5. Well, a lot of people like me use phosphorus and P2O5 interchangeably, and that's not very accurate, but always look on your manure test for the P2O5 number. See how we have 51.7 pounds of P2O5 in that ton? And if you come across, the lab says it's all available. You can use it all the first year. It's not as available initially as commercial fertilizer is, but it will become available over a few weeks time period in the soil for the crop. And then the other number we always look at seriously in our soil tests is our potash or potassium number. Again, people like me who aren't very learned often use potash and potassium interchangeably, but you want to be looking at your K2O number, because when you go and if you were a commercial applicator and you are a commercial farmer and you bought commercial fertilizer, you buy your phosphorus as P2O5 and you buy your potash as K2O. So you want to look at your manure samples the same way. Again, completely available that first season, just as they are listed on here. And sulfur is important, primarily because we always need, most of our soils run a sulfur deficiency year in and year out. So that's a helpful thing to have. But again, manure analysis is going to vary where you're at in a building and those types of things, how manure is stored, but try to get an analysis so you know what's being delivered if you purchase. And eventually we'll take this poultry litter to the field. And this is just an example this summer of poultry litter being applied in a field in Indiana. Essentially in this field, I think they were aiming for 1.5 tons per acre of poultry litter. If you really think about nutrient removal from crops over the course of a 2-year corn soybean rotation, if you have really strong yields, you might remove as much as 100 to 125 pounds of P2O5 from a field. If your yields aren't nearly as good, you just need to make sure that we don't over-apply our P2O5 and build up our levels. Oftentimes people ask how you would value phosphorus and nitrogen and potash for sure. And I'm just going to use a MAP example. This is mono and ammonium sulfate, or phosphate, excuse me. It's 1152O. It's the most common fertilizer. I went down the street the other day and asked them the price for it. Fertilizer is shooting up through the roof right now because of a run-up in corn prices. But if we look at how potash is sold, it's sold at 0060. That's the white product that you're applying to your field if you're a commercial fertilizer person. If you look at the 2,000 pounds times the 60%, remember solid fertilizer, it's a percent of the product, you're actually buying 1,200 pounds of K2O when you buy a ton of 0060, because it's 60%. So 2,000 pounds or one ton times 60% is 1,200 pounds of K2O. If you divide that by the price, their price when I asked them yesterday was $385 a ton. So here's a $383 example from a while back. That's about 32 cents per pound for potash when a commercial person purchases it. You can get that through your manure as well, obviously. But just know that that's kind of the going price right now for potash. That sample of poultry litter that we have contained 44.7 pounds of K2O per ton. So there's $14.30 of K2O in that ton of poultry litter. If we also want to look at the phosphorus, the MAP fertilizer price down the road is $550 a ton. And it might be $650, they said, pretty soon. It's really going up. Well, MAP was 1152O. So 52% of that ton of MAP that you're buying is actually P2O5. So 2,000 pounds times 52% means you bought 1,040 pounds of P2O5 when you went to the elevator and bought that. If you divide that by the price and a weight, you get 53 cents per pound. So that's what phosphorus is going for a commercial person. So when you're getting poultry litter or beef manure or some other source, it gives you an idea of what those nutrients are actually worth in that manure, in addition to the organic matter, the micronutrients and everything else. So if we looked at that ton of poultry litter and it had 51.2 pounds of P2O5 times that value I've got written there, that's $27.14 per ton of P2O5. I just said a little while ago that we had K2O in there. We got our P2O5. You add those together, and we're about $36.44 for the P and the K that's in that ton of poultry litter that we had on the analysis. Note, I'm not talking nitrogen very much because oftentimes we waste our nitrogen. We don't do a very good job of getting that on a growing crop. But what's nitrogen worth? Well, I went down the elevator the other day and they said 28% was selling. I think they said $225 a ton. If so, then that means nitrogen is running around 45 cents a pound. Traditionally, you'll know that commercial nitrogen, I know organic nitrogen is considerably more expensive when you purchase, but traditional nitrogen is usually about a tenth the price of corn. So if corn's $4.50, oftentimes your commercial nitrogen will be about 45 cents a pound. But in that sample that we had, P2O5, K2O, your nitrogen, the original analysis, you get you an idea of what your fertilizer, what your poultry litter can be worth, or any other solid manure for that matter. Just remember that the nitrogen is only as valuable as you make use of it. If you're going to put that poultry litter out in September with no cover crop, nothing to grab those nutrients and use them, then you're likely to lose quite a bit of that nitrogen. Here's another poultry sample that was sent to me yesterday. Total nitrogen was 59.98, and that's not very far from what we had in another litter example. But I just would emphasize that on this one, the ammonium nitrogen number is 6.96 compared to a considerably higher. The other one's around 32, but this has a much higher organic nitrogen number. So remember, total nitrogen is the addition of ammonium nitrogen, nitrate nitrogen, and organic nitrogen added together. Here was the P2O5 content coming across. Remember, we valued that at 47 cents a pound. And here's your K2O, your potash, coming across at 32 cents a pound. And again, a whole host of micronutrients. As corn prices take off, commercial fertilizer dealerships will sell tons and tons of micronutrients to farmers as they try to wring every last bushel out of an acre that they possibly can. Now let's look at another solid manure. This is bedded pack manure. Commonly, if we want to contain the nutrients, we try to have a roof over top of it, have some sort of a place we can store it. Many of you might have neighbors who have manure available that might be willing to part with that for little or no cost. Oftentimes, if you'll haul it, they'll say, take it. But here's an example. This is a summary from Western Ohio. There's 78 samples in this summary I've got here. And this is steer manure. And of that, essentially about 2/3 moisture, 1/3 product. But they averaged about 19% total nitrogen. And what were the numbers that we added? We added ammonium nitrogen, 2.8 pounds in a ton. Nitrate nitrogen, 3.1 pounds in a ton, and organic nitrogen, 16.72 pounds in a ton. So those are our nitrogen numbers we added together to get our total of 19.29. Again, not a lot of ammonium nitrogen, not going to be a fast-acting fertilizer for a crop. It will green them up a little bit when it's applied, but it's not like some of the liquid manures where we're very high in nitrogen. Now, we're at phosphorus. Do we use the P number here, or do we use the P2O5 number here? Well, the answer is we would use P2O5 at 11.7. And here we have K2O versus K. We use the K2O number when we're looking at the nutrient content. You need to remember that a bushel of corn pulls out about 0.35 pounds of P2O5 for every bushel harvested. And it pulls out about 0.2 pounds of K2O for every bushel harvested. And when you look at soybeans, they'll pull out about 0.79 pounds of P2O5 for every bushel harvested and about 1.14 pounds of K2O for every bushel harvested. And it's not a one for one. You have to add about, you know, Steve would know better, but about 12 pounds of P2O5 to a field to raise your soil test 2 parts per million. And K2O is the same way. You have to add about 15 or 20 pounds per acre to raise your soil test 2 parts per million. But it is something that you just need to be aware of trends. If I had to pick one thing that gets a lot, in my opinion, organic people get into trouble with, is that because we use that poultry litter nitrogen to get the nitrogen we need for manure, we often build our P2O5 levels to very high levels, much higher than we would like most people to know. And that's a continued process. But if you start to think about how you might balance that a little better, I think you would want to look at liquid manures in that situation. The big thing I'd like to emphasize on your solid manures as well is your ability to calibrate how much you're applying to a field. If you get some sort of a tarpaulin or a piece of plastic or something that's 56 by 56 inches, and you put that out into your field and you apply your manure as you normally would, if you will take the time to weigh that, you'll find that this 56 by 56 inch area is 1/2000th of an acre. And then if you do the math with that, essentially, if you end up with 1 pound of manure on that tarp, then you've applied 1 ton per acre. If you have 5 pounds of manure on that tarp, then you've applied 5 tons per acre. So just remember the dimensions. Obviously, this is a rectangular tarp, but you need to get those total square inches in there. And it comes out very, very close to an acre, 1/2000th of an acre. So 5 tons, on the tarp would be 5 tons per acre. I stopped the other day, and it's been a couple of years now, and took a picture of this field. And when I was a kid, this is how we applied manure. That's one of the reasons I stopped and looked at it. But if you really had to estimate the application rate, this is probably in the upward area of 35 or 40 tons per acre, or a little bit more. So we just need to understand, we've put on enough P2O5 to feed this crop for a number of years. Are we going to go right back next year with that much manure? I would hope not, because as the years go on, you don't want to make fields unavailable for use. You know, someday there could be requirements that soil phosphorus levels are in certain areas, or even your source of the produce that purchase it might want to know what your soil P2O5 levels are. So just understand that. We don't want to overdo that. Now we look at liquid manures. I'm going to start with pigs. I do a lot with pigs. When they poop, the manure goes down into the water, and ammonia is highly soluble. So it's captured in that liquid manure, where it's usually lost in a bedded pack. All your liquid manure samples are pounds per 1,000 gallons versus the pounds per ton that we talked about with the solid samples. If I looked at it, those nitrogen numbers are there just like we expect. You've got a total nitrogen followed by three rows, ammonium nitrogen, nitrate nitrogen, organic nitrogen. You add those up and you get your 37.68. The important point to make is in hogs, almost all the nitrogen is in the ammonium form, readily available for crop uptake. If you can get that on a growing crop, such as wheat or corn, or something that needs it, they'll respond very rapidly, or you can burn them too. I've done both. There's our organic nitrogen, then we have our P2O5, and we have our K2O. Again, we have both K and K2O. Use the K2O column and P2O5 row, excuse me. There's two things that I emphasize with the liquid manures. Number one, if I can get two parts nitrogen, especially ammonium nitrogen, for one part P2O5, I have something I can side dress corn with and balance nicely for my nutrients. This is almost a 3-to-1. If I looked at the average of soil of a manure test, I'd say we're usually somewhere between 35 and 40 pounds of nitrogen in 1,000 gallons of liquid hog finishing manure, and usually somewhere around 18 to 20 pounds of P2O5 per 1,000 gallons. And the potassium's right where it is, 29, 30 pounds per 1,000 gallons is very common. But remember, I like that 2-to-1 ratio. And then the other thing, if I valued the NP and K of liquid manure, especially hog manure, not necessarily so much dairy, but 40% of that NP and K value is in that ammonium nitrogen. So we often waste that by doing the fall application and not really working that into our plan for the following year. Also emphasize, we do a lot of fall application. This is just a quick survey, just telling you that we do a lot of fall application of manure in Western Ohio. And then if you figured how much of this 29% from July to September is applied after silage harvest, we could easily be in that 65%, 70% area of manure that's fall applied rather than applied in this time period here in April, June, where we might be able to get plants to use it. This is just a grassland applicator we used a few years ago. We sliced through wheat with it, applied about 4,000 gallons per acre, and had excellent results. We actually started with that. We eventually went to a drag hose system like this and had really good results with growing wheat with liquid swine manure at about 3,500 to 4,000 gallons spread on top in the spring with excellent, excellent yields. We've also done a lot of tanker work across the state. I'm going to kind of shoot through this a little bit with our time, but the data set basically just shows that incorporated swine manure will beat incorporated commercial fertilizer head to head. This is a 5-year summary. These are pre-emergent plots. The corn was not out of the ground when the manure was applied. These are post-emergent plots. The corn was at V3 stage when manure was applied. when we just threw the mineral on top of the ground, we gave back that tremendous advantage that we had and didn't meet commercial fertilizer levels. But we also played with dairy manure and we had similar results. But again, the dairy manure didn't have enough nitrogen to grow the crop. So we had to supplement with some commercial 28% to make that happen. But the big lesson is manure is very competitive with commercial fertilizer on yield production. This is a university tanker here on the left. We're finishing up a plot. The farmer built his own manure applicator. And so you basically have liquid swine manure. This is from a nursery being site dressed on corn at about the V6 stage of the corn growth. And this was a field that they averaged better than 220 bushel per acre on this field. So really good results this year. Helps to have rainfall at the right time. But you can modify manure tankers. You can put narrower wheels on them. But if you do that, just remember that compaction is an issue. So in these examples, we were running a Dietrich sweep to try to take the compaction out behind the wheels of the tanker, because that is a lot of weight. We've also moved beyond that. This is an example of how we use drag hoses now. This is a half mile field. This is a farmer that is a commercial producer, but he's using his hog manure, using a 12 row side dress unit. And he's applying about 5,000 gallons per acre. And he left some strips of commercial fertilizer in here. And we did about 1,000 acres all across Western Ohio this year with the side dress units. And commercial, the manure beat the commercial fertilizer on this droughty year that we had by about 12 bushel per acre on average, 12 to 15. But this is just an example of how that can be done. And in these examples, we use a rolling colder to open up the soil. A boot puts the manure in on top of the ground, and then we try to cover it. They don't inject with these quite like we do with the Dietrich units. I had a preference. I think I'd rather get it in the ground. But if you ever do that, we can do corn up to the V4 stage. So this corn leaf has a collar. This leaf has a collar where it grips the plant. This leaf grips the plant. It has a collar. So this is V3 corn. And when this leaf gets a collar, it will be V4 corn. We can side dress with a drag hose through the V4 corn, but not V5. This might be a little noise. This is just an example of where an applicator is spreading hog manure on top of corn at the V3 stage. Although I frown on this a little bit, it is a way of getting manure on our growing crop. And the corn can be pretty tolerant of this, up to 5,000-6,000 gallons per acre. This year, we came through and we cultivated corn right after application, within 24 hours. We cultivated in portions of this manure and we left other portions on top of the ground. And the yields actually were within about 2 bushels of each other. So incorporated manure and surface applied manure were really similar in this example, incorporated manure and then surface applied manure that was incorporated with a cultivator were very, very similar. And they were both about 20 bushel better than the commercial fertilizer that we used. The last toolbar I wanted to show, this is another unit that was designed off of our university's research to be used with liquid manure. This is a crop enhancer that was put together by the Kapman system. You see that big hose is rolling that hard hose up. The unit's going to turn on the end. This is a silver version they released this year. They're going to turn on the end and then it's going to head right back to feed down the field. They call this a continuous manure applicator. You can see the hose has been laid out. So they've got this pressurized hose that's providing pressurized manure to the system that they're running. And they can basically do very, very large fields in very, very short order. This is a 16 row applicator. We'd love to get one of these in Northwest Ohio if we possibly could. This is at the other end. When they get to the other end and they want to make the turn, Again, they're pulling the hard hose directly behind them all the way down the field. He's going to turn on the end, and he's going to open his wing, and that's going to allow that hard hose to be withdrawn down the field beside him without smashing very much corn. And that's, again, a new technology on how we can get these liquid manures applied to a corn crop. And a corn can be much taller with this system, so you have a much wider window of application than what we did with the Draco system. All right, so now they're withdrawing the hose, and he's simply going to go back down through the field just like he came originally up through the field, and that hose will be withdrawn all the way beside him. Kind of a nice system. We think there's a lot of potential for it. Something to look forward to as we make more inroads in how manure is going to be applied. In closing, we try to put a lot of our material on Facebook. If you go to Ohio State Extension Environmental and Mineral Management Facebook page and hit a like on that, I try to post a lot of videos. I try to post a lot of research data. It's a good way of reaching me. So something to kind of keep in mind if you want to follow this information more closely. Well, hopefully if 2021 cooperates, we'll be right back out there doing manure application again this summer. And with that, I think we're squeezed down to our last minutes, but I will be very happy to take any questions anyone would have.
Great, thanks, Glenn. Appreciate all that great information. This time, let's open it up as Glenn suggested, and we'll try to keep it brief, but if you've got burning questions, fire away. Go ahead and unmute yourself and go ahead and ask, that'd be great, or put the questions in chat.
Not seeing any at this time.
Not too much, huh? So Glenn, I'll just ask
one. I'll throw in one, Steve.
Thanks, Danny. Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. Glenn, thanks for the presentation. It was lovely. I think what I was looking for in this to pick your brain on is, so I'm an agronomist with the Andersons, and work with a lot of organic farmers as well as some conventional, more the sustainable route farmers that are wanting to do conservation practices, et cetera. And, you know, sometimes the farmer's like, well, I don't have a manure analysis. And they're like, how much should I put on? And I guess I'd just be curious your ballpark numbers. I mean, obviously it's best to always get that analysis, but when the farmer's either getting it from a farmer or from like a neighbor farmer, or, you know, say they need to apply it this week, but they don't have an analysis. That's always a situation I run into, and I haven't found any good like resources of, you know, say poultry, swine, you know, dairy. If it's just like, do you ever go off of rough ballpark numbers that you use?
Oh yeah, sure. On your bedded pack manures, like your beef and dairy and things like that. You know, if you think of about a 666 or a 888 type thing where you have a certain amount of N, P, and K. The other summary you could look at is that I can always send you that one from Mercer County where we've got the 78 steer samples and 80 dairy samples and stuff like that. And that would be a nice ballpark number too. But if it were a liquid system where the manure is contained and kept, you're going to keep more of that nitrogen. It's going to be higher. If it's going to be a dry manure example, then most of that nitrogen will be gone except the organic portion. So again, solid manure, you might look at a 666 or a 10-10-10 for an N, P, and K. And that's N, P205, and K2O number. For liquid manures, usually a good newer hog buildings, 40 pounds of nitrogen, 20 pounds P205, 30 pounds of K2O per 1,000 gallons, pretty common.
Can you repeat that? So thanks for that on the poultry or the bed pack estimates. On the liquid, you said 40, 20, and then what was the K2O?
30.
30, okay.
And that's a ballpark, yeah. 35 to 40 on that nitrogen, and most of that in the ammonium form. Liquid dairy manure would probably be something more like a 15, 5, and then 30. So 15 on nitrogen, most of that organic, 5 on the P2O5, and then 30 on the K2O.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. And it's never ideal, right, to work off of estimates, but so many farmers just, you know, if they don't have that analysis, it's nice to have the ballpark from the
neat thing
that you work with.
Danny, tell them the neat thing is that manure stays pretty consistent year to year from the same storage facilities. So even though two hog barns may not be very similar, once you pull a sample and you get a reasonable analysis from one of those sources, that one will stay pretty much the same year in and year out until there's some major change in their feeding system or they break a water hose or something else goes wrong. But I've pulled manure samples from a couple sources for more than 10 years for research plots, and they're very consistent year to year out of the same manure source. Yeah.
Great, thank you.
With regards to incorporation versus surface, you indicated a preference towards the incorporation. Along that line, I'm curious if there's been any studies or you've worked at, how much is lost, how much volatilizes? I'm not aware of if there's been studies on that.
There are some numbers in the older books now. The thing about research numbers is when they do a lot of that, they weren't really looking at application on a growing crop like we do today. But usually you're allowed to count that you're going to keep pretty much all that nitrogen if you get that incorporated within, I think the books say 48 hours. And we only used 24 hours this year because that was what the H2O program was calling for. And I was really pleased that we got fairly good yields from incorporating surface applied manure with a cultivator, a row cultivator. It was a bad year for growing crops. We only ended up with like 140 bushel corn. So next year, if we have 200 bushel corn, I'd be really fascinated to see if incorporating like we did holds up. So I like the incorporation because you're going to capture your nutrients. Your neighbors are going to be much more appreciative of it. And it looks better. I mean, it's less chance for a pop-up thunderstorm to wash manure off your field, get you into real trouble.
So Glenn, I've heard you say about getting back to Danny's question and book values, that those values have changed over time, right? I mean, number of things have changed in agriculture, but if you're looking at kind of maybe a little bit older textbook values, tell us what in general, what's happened to those values over time.
Okay, the biggest one that I would point out, or to me the most obvious, if you look at liquid hog manure P2O5 values from 40 years ago or more, they were looking at 43 pounds of P2O5 in 1,000 gallons. Today, 20 or even as low as 15 pounds of P2O5 in 1,000 gallons is more common. And that's because we've switched to leaner rations and we've used phytase to improve the absorption of phosphorus into the pig's rumen. So we don't have as much in the ration. So those are the biggest things. I don't think solid manure has changed much in nutrient value, other than we've done a better job of storing it on concrete, under roofs, things like that. I think the ammonium nitrogen, even though we have book values on it, I just think that they never dreamt we would ever put it actually on a growing crop. And they always kind of assumed that we would put that out in the summer or fall, and then next spring there'd be a certain amount of ammonium nitrogen left. And that again varies quite a bit, simply because as we warmed up and had more milder winters, we seem to leach greater amounts of nitrogen out of our fields.
Great, thanks. Any other questions for Glenn?
Yeah, in regard to the physical properties of soil, have you compared, you know, the compaction difference, you know, dragging that big tank over the field versus, you know, the other methods?
Yeah, a little bit. When we did our small plot work, we had a small tanker, very wide on the spacing of the wheels. Essentially, when we did a small plot work and compared that to the large manure tanker, the large manure tanker yields with the manure were about equal to the commercial fertilizer comparison we used. Whereas in the small plots, we had gained a 15 bushel advantage. So my assumption is that the compaction caused by the tractor, and especially the tanker, on corn at the V4, V5 stage, seemed to offset some of the advantages we should have seen. So if that's true, then I would assume that that manure tanker took off 10 to 15 bushel from what the potential yield could have been on a field. So that's why it's important, in my opinion, if you're gonna go with the tanker, that we try to take out the compaction, or if it's a no-till situation, I would take those Dietrich sweeps and I cut mine down to 4 1/4 inches wide instead of 8 inches wide, just because I could put the manure in a smaller area. I didn't disturb the no-till setup very much. And no-till, compaction is not much of a challenge with most equipment. I mean, in no-till situations, the soil can really hold up much heavier equipment than any type of conventional till. So, but the original question was, did the tanker cause compaction? Yes, and I think it knocked off at least 10 to perhaps as much as 15 bushels per acre on our yields, depending on how wet or dry the soil was when we went through.
Okay, we've just a couple more minutes before we wrap up, just see if there's anything else out there. Anybody have any additional questions?
We just throw out that most people who have manure seem very happy to allow other people to use it, especially if you'll take care of the transport and application. So if you don't currently use manure from a neighbor, give some thought to it, because most of them usually are looking for places to go with manure.
All right, well, I want to thank Glenn, our speaker, and thanks everyone for your participation and tuning in. This will be recorded, and it's being recorded. It will be posted on the offer site. It's offer.osu.edu, and we'll wrap up there. And of course, we've got a soil health webinar series on Thursdays now, this is a continuing webinar that. I believe the next one is next week, or potentially should have looked that up. But again, those are information that will get emailed out and is on our website as well. So thanks again, everybody. You have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.